Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. We're coming to you the week after the conference championships. There's some interesting games played out there, but everything is pretty much how we expected. We got our top four teams, and the playoffs are ready to go. We're actually going to handle that a week down the road, but for anyone curious, the top four teams, Clemson on top, Alabama, then Michigan State, and Oklahoma. Now, we've got our top three commentators here. As always, I'm Logan Sandor. Down the road, we got Nigel King. How you going, Nigel?
I'm doing pretty good. It's Wednesday. Hot day already.
And doing his best Golden Meyer Lion impression, we have Andrew. How you doing today, Andrew?
I'm good, man. It's like Nigel said, it's Wednesday. We're already halfway through the week, so.
All right.
So, like I said, we're planning on talking more about the playoffs down the road. Obviously, we got four big teams and a lot of matchups to discuss, but they got a good month ahead of to look at those matchups. So right now, we're going to focus on the issue at hand, which would be the Heisman this Saturday. Now, we've got the top three candidates, Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, and Deshaun Watson are the top three. And we actually got a question in from one of our fans, a PyGod 3.14159, who asked, who will win the Heisman this week, or this year rather, and who deserves to win the Heisman this year? Nigel, I know you've already put a lot of thought into this, so I'm going to go ahead and start with you. Who is going to win the Heisman this year, and is it the same person that deserves to win the Heisman?
I think that it's pretty much a consensus. All the straw polling that they're doing, talking to former Heisman winners, just talking to people who get a vote. It seems like it's going to be Derrick Henry. You know, just the amount of carries that he's getting, and of course the production that he's having with it. I think that he's going to be in the talks for the Heisman, definitely, and I think he'll end up winning it. You know, he broke Herschel Walker's single season record for rushing yards. He's also tied for the rushing touchdown lead with Tim Tebow, and I think it's I'm trying to remember the young man's name out of Auburn. He was recently drafted, probably like 2 years ago. So
McMarshall,
who'd you say?
Was it running back or quarterback?
Running back.
Probably Cadillac Williams.
No, it wasn't Cadillac Williams. It was two years ago. I can't remember the guy's name. He plays for the Rams now. But, you know, he has 23 touchdowns. He's putting up the numbers. Who do I think deserves to win? You know, we had talked about a couple of people this week, but a guy that I want to remind everybody who I think had a really good statistical season, maybe a few more interceptions than he needed to, was Deshaun Watson. You know, we're talking about a guy who put up, you know, almost 4,500 total yards of offense year to date, and he has one, at least one, maybe potentially two games left. You know, it's not the best season I think we've ever seen from a quarterback. I think that still belongs to Steve McNair in terms of, you know, reaching, you know, nearly 5,800 total yards of offense, but he's putting up, you know, numbers that are up there, and I think he should be rewarded for it. For over 40 touchdowns on the year. Has led the number one team to an undefeated record, you know, and the number one seed in the college football playoffs. I think he should be talked about more than he is. I mean, obviously, I think he'll do pretty well. He's in the top three. He's going to New York this year, but he'll probably end up finishing third, in my mind, in this voting.
Well, an interesting thing about the Heisman the past few years is that the voting hasn't been close between the first two people. So usually the first candidate wins it by a huge margin, and I think that's just the way it's going nowadays with the media coverage. One person gets all the coverage, and that drives the votes. Andrew, I'm going to turn it over to you. You actually had some interesting opinions on a few other candidates who are just kind of being left out of the discussion altogether. I'll go ahead and turn it over to you. Give us your thoughts on who those candidates are and why they are not being discussed for the Heisman this year.
want to start with the second part of that question first, because, and I've said it multiple times in this show, I really think the Heisman has somewhat of an identity crisis where it can't decide exactly what the award is supposed to stand for. They have the Heisman Creed and all that talks about integrity and all of this, but obviously we've had past winners that have shown that they really don't care for that. And then is it just the best player in the country? Is it the player with the best numbers? Is it the best player on the best team? You know, in order to even be considered for the Heisman, you've got to play at a P5 program. You've got to be a running back or a quarterback more than likely. You've got to be in the top 10. I mean, we're not seeing a lot of what I think is fantastic players with amazing years that maybe in the past would have gotten looks. I mean, you had guys like Andre Ware that won the Heisman on the back of an amazing season at Houston, and some of these other guys that have put together magnificent numbers but don't get chances. Brandon Doty is really my big one at Western Kentucky, where he's thrown for over 4,500 yards, completed over 70% of his passes for 45 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I mean, those numbers are just absolutely amazing. They're eye-popping. You've got quarterback numbers all over the place in these levels, but none of these quarterbacks play for top 10 teams, so no one cares. So they don't get brought up for these awards. They don't get brought up in any of this discussion. So I think it's a little disingenuous that the Heisman has really become a, you're the big name player on the big name team, so you're probably going to win it. Not that any of these guys don't deserve it. I mean, Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, Watson, Baker Mayfield, all these guys have put together fantastic years. But I think that even when you have, now outside of Henry, McCaffrey, they don't. They're the top two running backs in the country this year. So you really can't make that argument. But, I mean, there's quarterbacks out there that have a lot better numbers than Deshaun Watson, but because they don't play at Clemson, they don't get invited. You know, and I get it. You know, obviously the level of play you're dealing with and the defenses you're playing against, but, you know, some of these numbers are just absolutely insane. And I think it's unfair that because these guys don't play at the big-time programs that win 10, 11, 12 games a year, that they should get considered. Now, I think Henry wins it just because he's, you know, he's the sexy pick, and Alabama's put together a great season. He's broken all those records, which McCaffrey's broken a lot too. McCaffrey broke Barry Sanders' record, which what's fascinating about that is if you think about it, Barry Sanders created that record only playing 11 games. McCaffrey's already played 13. So just to put those numbers in perspective, like, that's insane. But
it's now, just, even though Sanders played in fewer games, they actually had the same amount of touches.
Did they really?
They actually had nearly the same amount of touches. I think McCaffrey had about 5 less touches in total, compared to Barry Sanders. So not just the games, but also the offensive touches.
Well, never mind then. I've been absolutely corrected.
Well, wow. And just
that's pretty cool, actually. I didn't know that.
That's what got me on board with your pick. Not just the doing it in the amount of games, but also just getting those amount of touches to get to the record. He didn't backload it with 100 more touches or something like that.
Yeah, which is, I guess,
that's really surprising.
Which is
actually, because I guess it shows. I don't know.
I mean, it shows a great deal of talent in the fact that they run the offense, not necessarily running the offense through that guy. He just makes the most out of the touches he gets. But
I guess it makes you wonder if Stanford had given him more touches in the two games they lost, how they would have turned out.
Very true.
But anyway, back to the question that Pie God asked. I think Derrick Henry is quite obviously going to win this the way that it's set up right now. There's just the past few years, the Heisman has been very political, and it goes to the top runner, and it's not even close. And I kind of touched on that earlier, but I think if McCaffrey and Stanford were in the playoff, it might be more of a discussion. But Henry has the most rushing touchdowns on a team, you know, in the playoff. And I think a big part of it is also just the fact that he plays for Saban. As silly as that sounds, I think The fact that he's in the SEC, the fact that he plays for Nick Saban, I think it has a big impact on how much people see him on television and the kind of press that he's getting. And that really goes a long way to swaying the votes. Now, as far as what Andrew said, I think there's a lot of people that deserve it more. I don't even think Derrick Henry's the most talented running back out there. McCaffrey's probably more talented out of Stanford, like you said. Heck, I know y'all are going to disagree with this, but I still think Fournette's a better running back. He just doesn't have a very good supporting cast. There's a lot of talented players out there. As far as Heisman candidates, you know, Matt Johnson, I've been talking about him all year, Bowling Green, and Keenan Reynolds has been somebody that we've talked about a lot. He's never going to get that kind of discussion because of the offense that he runs in. But that said, I think the way he led that team at least deserved consideration. Then again, the losses at the end of the year didn't help him. At the end of the day, to answer Pie God's questions, it's going to be Henry. And I guess if I had to pick somebody that I think deserved it more, I guess I'd go with McCaffrey. I kind of want to go with Watson, but his stats are very similar to Baker Mayfield's. So it's hard to really compare the two. So I'll turn it back over to you, Nigel. Do you have any extra thoughts on the matter?
Yes, the number confirmation. McCaffrey had 388 touches, whereas Sanders had 394 touches.
Does that include McCaffrey's return yards?
Yeah, all his return yards and all that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Also, Sanders' record does not include his bowl game results. So that is good for even more so with McCaffrey. So it's not like his bowl game yards would have pushed him over. He got it before the bowl season started.
So, you know, it's interesting we're talking about Keenan Reynolds. I think one of the problems with a guy like Keenan Reynolds, or even if you have a quarterback at Georgia Tech or a team that runs that offense, is you really can't quantify numbers-wise what that quarterback does or how that quarterback makes that option work. You know, you can't really say, all right, so the pitch was correct on the read. It's considered a complete pass. He gets all the yards. Like, you can't a screenplay, which might have been the exact same read and the exact style play. So, unfortunately, I think in today's modern offenses, the numbers I just don't think will ever be there, unless maybe it's on a national championship team, for a quarterback in Navy's or Georgia Tech style offense to really compete for the Heisman Trophy.
That makes sense. Do you think also with the way that the offense is geared? I mean, any offense should go to the best. It goes to the best option whenever you run any single play, right?
I mean, in a perfect world, you're always going to make the right read on the play.
Yeah, but whereas a quarterback who is, I mean, he's always going to get credit for a pass or a personal run, and the running back will get credit if he's headed the ball directly. But in this offense, there's other ways for people to get the ball that the quarterback won't get credit for more than just handing the ball off to the guy behind him.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm saying is the reads that you make and what Georgia Tech does on offense, you can't really quantify without taking the time to get the play call sheet, go in and grade them out yourself, which – I mean, unless without the play, which you're not going to get a play call sheet from a coach. No one's going to give those to someone. Mm-hmm. So you really aren't going to be able to grade the quarterback out. Say he runs, you know, just a regular, you know, 12-13, as we call it, reads the end right, reads the pitch right. If he hands it off because it's the right read on the give, like you said, all those yards are going to go to the B-back. If he makes the right read and pulls it and then pitches, the running back gets all the yards. The only yards he gets is if he keeps it. So I don't know if there's a real good way to put all those numbers together, but I think it would make it a little more interesting if we could figure something out.
I wonder if they might do that in the future because they've changed the way they've done stat scoring before. how long would it take them to develop something like that, though? And I guess how would you factor that in? Because a lot of pitch plays are something that they do in other offenses, and that doesn't count towards the quarterback, is I guess what most people would argue.
Well, I think there's a difference between, you know, I open up on a toss and I read the play right and pitch. To me, a pitch that's read the right way is no different than a wide receiver bubble screen. Yeah. It's designed to do the same thing. You're trying to attack the perimeter. More than likely, the same guy.
Yeah.
It's just not something – and I guess the biggest problem in my mind is being able to sit down and go for a fact, all right, this play was this. This was his read. You know, it's like when I used to grade tape coaching, you'd look at it and you'd say, all right, it's a one or a zero. Either he did what he's supposed to do or he didn't. And there are different ways to look at it. And unfortunately, without having a true list and understanding of the play calling, you're probably not going to be able to do that just by looking.
All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for our Heisman talk. Pie God, I hope we answered your questions. Now you can change your email picture because I'm pretty sure you're not Drake. If you are Drake, I feel very honored to have him listening to us. But somehow I doubt it. All right, Nigel, we're going to turn to your bowl grab bag. Do you want to run through an introduction for us?
Yeah, let's see if I can make it a little bit more concise than my last run through. But in general, there are 41 bowl games this season, not including the national title game. What we're going to do is, not including the actual college football playoff games, we're going to pick the other 39 bowl games. There are three of us, so that's 13 games each. We get to pick the games that we want. You take them off a list, and you pick a winner, and we'll see who ends up doing the best. So it'll be 13 games for everybody, and I wish everybody luck.
No, you don't. You wish we all get everything wrong, and you get 100%.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I want to stomp you to the ground.
All right, so I'll pick last. Why don't you and Andrew do rock, paper, scissors real fast, and we get this wrapped up.
Okay. Wait. I don't trust him.
No, don't pull it out, man. I don't need to see that.
It's rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yes, agree.
On four.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, okay. Sorry. Andrew won, because he's got scissors.
Yep.
All right, first pick. Andrew, who you got?
There's so many bowl games.
There's 39.
There's only 39. Come on, man. There's not that many.
In the Advocare V100 Texas Bowl on December 29th, I think that LSU is probably going to beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, find a machine. Ugh, this is hard. Okay. I just want to mark it off so I don't pick it, you know. Okay. Let's see. 1 second. Okay. I'm going to go with...
Nigel's taking this way too seriously, rifling through all these papers. He's trying to do some kind of calculation.
Yeah, I'm taking it super serious. I'm going Virginia Tech of Tulsa. I think Virginia Tech's going to get that win. Wait, who's going
to say the name of the bowl?
Hmm?
Say the name of the bowl.
It's the Independence Bowl. It doesn't have some quacky name. Or if it does, I'm not reading the whole thing. But I don't respect these quacky.
The World Independence Bowl. It was the bowl that was once sponsored by Duck Commander.
Okay. Who's Logan, are you keeping tallies on this?
I am at the moment, yeah. I'm trying to keep track of who's where, but...
Yeah, me too. Because I don't want to pick the game somebody else.
I love how well we planned this. Anyway, I'm going to go big for my pick. I'm going to go straight to the Fiesta Bowl and pick... probably the easiest game out of these top games. Ohio State is going to crush Notre Dame because Notre Dame is just so overrated. I think Ohio State's going to come into that game and demolish Notre Dame.
Good.
I was really just hoping that Tommy could pick all of the write all these down. Andrew, you're back up.
USC beats Wisconsin in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, probably. That's a good pick. That's usually high scoring too, isn't it?
Yeah, I just haven't been impressed by Wisconsin this year.
I haven't either. They've been so quiet. Usually they're like,
and it, I mean, they're, I don't think they're having the kind of running game that they're used to.
Who do I want? I'm gonna go UCLA over Nebraska in the Foster's Farms Bowl.
Is that really the name of the bowl? So the Foster's Farm Bowl. I was too distracted by the title. You're picking UCLA over who?
I'm picking UCLA over Nebraska.
Okay. And keep in mind, all listeners, these two are the guys that went 70% on the year. I went like 40, so don't trust me when I say Temple is going to beat Toledo in the Boca Raton Bowl.
Andrew, we need to go to Vegas.
Apparently.
70% is actually pretty good if you're working your bets out, right?
All right, I think my turn, right?
Go for it.
I think Mississippi State absolutely demolishes NC State in the Belk Bowl.
Oh, God. How did I miss that one? God, they're going to wreck their faces.
It's going to be ugly.
It's going to be ugly. I'm choosing Memphis over Auburn in the Birmingham Bowl.
Ooh. That's like a home game for Auburn. You sure you want to do that?
Dude, Memphis has been ridiculously good. And this is the team that beat Ole Miss. And Auburn is definitely not on the level of Ole Miss.
Okay. I'm going to go against my heritage. I'll go with Arkansas over Kansas State. Pick an SEC team. It's not much of a pick, but I think
What's the name of the bowl game?
I think Arkansas can handle Kansas State in the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah,
I think Texas A&M utterly wrecks Louisville in the Music City Bowl.
God, I was gonna pick that one next. Oh,
not so fast, my friend. Well, I'm not allowed to pick against it, so whatever.
Oh,
there's so many bowl games this year. It's unbelievable.
There are. I'm going to go with UNC over Baylor in the Russell's Athletic Bowl.
Thank you for picking that one.
It's hard. It's an interesting one.
Well, because I was going to pick Baylor and have to sleep on the couch for a month.
Well, now you just gave it away. I'm going to go because I think it'll piss both of you off. I'm going to go ahead and take Navy's game and say they beat Pittsburgh in the Military Bowl. Keenan Reynolds ends his career on a high note.
Okay.
That's bad. Andrew, you're up.
In the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. I think in their first ever bowl game, the Georgia State Panthers beat San Jose State.
You are not picking Georgia State in that game. Really? Wow. That's a bold prediction. They did beat Georgia Southern. I just don't see that happening, but hey.
Badly. They wrecked Georgia Southern's world.
That did not.
It was the worst loss in Paulson Stadium history.
That did not reflect the rest of their year, though, by the way.
That's a whole nother discussion on why that game turned out like that. That's something that score I was definitely there. interesting. I'm gonna go with. I don't like them. I know, very interesting.
Okay,
I'm gonna go with Georgia Southern over Bowling Green. The GoDaddy Bowl. I would do that one.
You and your GoDaddy. All right. I'm gonna go with Western Kentucky over Southern Florida in the Miami Beach Bowl. I might have to go see that bowl. That'd be fun. I like that. But yeah, Western Kentucky, too hot.
I think in the Las Vegas version of the Holy War, Utah absolutely mollywomps BYU.
None of us are picking close games. We're just like, oh, yeah, they're going to destroy whoever they're playing. It's not going to be close.
That's part of the strategy. I'm trying to win this. I don't know what I win, but I'm trying to win.
Really quick, I want to know what the odds are on a fight breaking out of that game like it did at BYU's last bowl game.
I don't know, man. That fan bases that hate each other.
I forgot about that till you mentioned it, Logan. Crap.
All right, I'm sorry. Nigel, you're up whenever you're ready.
I'm going with, in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, I'm going with the Fighting Chuck E. Keatons over the Zips.
Okay. I guess in the Pro Stripe Bowl, which will be played at Yankee Stadium, I will go with Duke winning over Indiana, which, depending on who you ask, would be an upset because apparently the ACC is just that much worse than the Big Ten, according to ESPN, anyway.
Big Ten's the best conference, man.
So, even though it is a home game being played in their home stadium, I don't think that New Mexico can beat Arizona in the Gilden New Mexico Bowl.
This is where I'm gonna start having trouble figuring out which bowl we haven't picked at this point.
Nigel, why I'm putting a spreadsheet together.
Nigel, you're up.
I like paper. I'm going to go with the Sun Devils over the Mountaineers in the I can't see because it got cut off bowl.
I don't think that's the actual name of the bowl. Hold on a second.
Give me one second.
What
in the? They will be in the crap. The Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. God.
These are such bad names.
For anyone curious, bowl games aren't selling out. No, it's always been named the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. All right. So I'm going to go down to the New Orleans Bowl, and I'm going to pick Arkansas State. And correct me if I'm wrong, they're coming off their first conference championship. But I'm going to pick them over Louisiana Tech. Okay. I just think they are too hot. Arkansas State.
I think that Cal, although it's kind of sacrilegious, beats Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hate America. I mean, it is Cal. They're kind of used to hating America.
That's true. I'm going.
I'm going to go with, double check this. I'm going to go with Oregon over TCU in the, I don't even know how to, I'm about to butcher this, Rwanda Alamo Bowl. The Alamo Bowl. I'm calling the Alamo Bowl.
Just call it. Just call it what everybody else calls it. The Alamo Bowl, please.
Oh, is it? Is it still sponsored by Valero?
Valero.
Yeah, the tires.
Gas station chain.
Or the the gas station.
That makes sense in Texas.
All right, I'm gonna go with the Outback Bowl, with a pick that my godfather will like me for. Probably a close game, Tennessee over Northwestern in the Outback Bowl. Andrew's running out of easy picks now.
Florida State over Houston in the Peach Bowl.
Really? I didn't think you would have picked that one.
You know, I think Florida State's rounding into form, and they're going to be a national championship competitor next year.
I think so, because I think Sean McGill, he's good. He's good. I like him.
McGuire.
Wait, that's the Peach? Oh, that's right. That's the Peach Bowl. I thought that was the Chick-fil-A Bowl. I was like, why isn't that an SEC team? Anyway, Nigel.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with Michigan over Florida in the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl.
Okay. I'm going to go with, in the Camellia Bowl, I'm going to go with my Ohio Bobcats over the Appalachian State Mountaineers. I really have no basis for that pick. They're just my Ohio Bobcats. So I got to go with them.
That's an interesting pick. That's a very interesting pick, Logan. Not just because of the record, but also because Appalachian State has put together a pretty good campaign in general.
I know they got talent, but hey, Ohio, it's not like Ohio is a bunch of slackers. Anyway. Yeah, Andrew, who you got?
I think Stanford beats Iowa in the Rose Bowl. I think Iowa's good, but I think Stanford's got too many weapons. I think Christian McCaffrey is just going to go ham.
Now, that's the only pick so far that I would actually don't want to pick that game. That's a really rough one. That's going to be close.
Yeah, hard as a McCaffrey. Understandable. I'm going with Penn State over Georgia in the Tex Slayer Bowl.
All right, I'm going to go with my old coworker and go with Western Michigan over Middle Tennessee in the Bahamas Bowl, which is a bowl I would actually really like to go to. But I don't think you're going to see either of those teams travel really well down there. Somehow I doubt it.
Which bowl game did you pick?
The Bahamas Bowl, where Western Michigan will row the boat.
I feel like Western Michigan people want to get away to Bahamas for a bit.
Especially in just January or December. Yeah. When it's probably like -800 degrees up there.
I don't know. We'll see. I just don't think the team itself, their fans don't travel that well, in my experience. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think, all right, my turn.
Go for it.
Yep.
I think that Ole Miss wins the Sugar Bowl. I don't think Oklahoma State can run the ball very well.
That's a very interesting pick. I would have gone the other way, but to each his own. Each his own. We're almost out. He's done. I am going to go with... – I'm going to go with Alcorn State over North Carolina A&T in the Celebration Bowl. We're really running out of bowl names. I know we are.
That's the old traditional SWAC versus MEAC game.
Ah, yes, tradition.
Sure. No, because it's the schools like Grambling and Southern and the HBCUs.
Yeah, no, that's what I was like. No, it is traditional. It is pretty traditional. There's some big, actually, HBCU games that just don't get talked about because they're not Power 5, basically.
Well, I mean, it's the first time that those kind of games have come to the limelight just because we have to have that many bowl games nowadays.
True.
Everybody gets TV coverage except Georgia Tech because they won 3 games.
Best 3-9 team in America.
Hey, Nebraska's in a bowl game. Why aren't we? Anyway, Sun Bowl. This is a tough one for me, but I am going to say Miami gets the edge over Washington State in the Sun Bowl, and that is a game. And that is a game that you will have to watch on CBS because they still own the Sun Bowl.
I'm so glad you picked that one because I just did not want to pick that one.
So, I think that Colorado State beats Nevada in the Arizona Bowl, which is an amusing bowl because, A, both of those teams are in the Mountain West Conference. 2, it is the first bowl game since 1994 that will not be nationally televised.
Any particular reason?
Because who wants to watch two Mountain West teams? Oh, did I say that out loud? My bad.
Well, I mean, the Mountain West is very, very unhappy with it, for obvious reasons.
Because they don't get the dollars, do they? The ad dollars, right?
Well, I think they get the money, but it's like, wait, really, guys?
Well, yeah.
How the heck do they have two teams from the same conference? They've already played each other in a bowl game.
Have they already played each other?
I think they have.
Man, now they're not like
that would make it even worse.
Yeah, because then it's like, come on, what are we even doing? Like, you couldn't switch anybody else with anybody else. Like, I understand there are rules in each conference has rules. For
okay,
they have not played each other.
Yeah, my apologies, they have not played each other.
Thank God, because that would have just been, come on, we're not even trying anymore. We're almost out for real. I'm going to go with Central Michigan over Minnesota in the Quick Lane Bowl.
Really?
Minnesota has not been great this year.
Really, Nigel? Really? That was your pick at the very beginning of the year. Minnesota upsets TCU. You've done it full 180.
Hey. Can't be 100, baby.
All right. I will take, in the aptly named Heart of Dallas Bowl, I will be taking the Washington Huskies over the Southern Miss Golden Eagles.
I knew you were going to pick that one, Logan. I really knew you were. I think we're both leaving it subconsciously for you.
I have one more, and I'm kind of curious if it'll get left up, but I want to hear what Andrew's pick is next.
I think San Diego State beat Cincinnati in the Hawaii Bowl.
You're wrong, but I respect your opinion. That's not true. You're wrong, and I think you're an idiot. But hey, whatever.
I mean, that's pretty much how it normally goes.
Okay. Should be only 2 bowl games left. Which one will I pick? We'll go with Marshall over UConn.
Damn it.
St. Peter's Bowl. I knew it.
You suck.
All right, Logan, bring us home.
You suck and I hate you. What's the last bowl game? I don't even know.
It is the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl between Boise State and Northern Illinois.
I was worried that was the one it was going to be. God. This is a really tough pick for me because usually I would pick Boise State hands down, but they just haven't been great this year.
True. I do love poinsettias, though. They're really pretty.
Oh, they're poisonous, though. Don't eat them.
I do.
I usually eat flowers, but I'll take you up on that one.
I do watch that game every year because I just think of how pretty poinsettias are. I wish they would just cover the field in poinsettias, but I'm pretty sure someone would die.
Navy usually ends up in that game most years. I guess they just didn't want them to send them to the West Coast this time.
I think Navy is just too good to end up in that bowl this year. Anyway, I will begrudgingly...
Well, if you realize that Navy is playing their bowl game in their home stadium, right?
Yeah, and it's amazing. And they're still going to win. It doesn't matter. All right, I'm going to pick Boise State. I, again, don't bet on it just because I said that. I really think Northern Illinois, if stat-wise, is better than them, but I just think Boise State has a tendency to win big games, big bowl games. All right. So that is our bowl roundup. I actually made some picks, so now I will have to own up to my to the ones we did. We'll see who came out with the best percentage at the end of the year. And look forward to our playoff picks down the road. That said, we do have one more game left to pick this week.
Woo! Go Navy, beat Army!
Oh, I was about to say, Andrew, do you have something to play for us?
Oh, crap!
Well, so, apparently Andrew hates America, but just so you know, Army versus Navy is this weekend, or Navy versus Army, depending on your perspective. It's America's game. Is that the oldest matchup in America? It's not, is it? There it is. That was adorable. Okay, Andrew, you're obviously clearly enthused. I want to turn it over to you. I think I know who you're going to pick, but I'll just go ahead and let you get into it.
So, you kind of got to feel bad for Army in this game. Just, they haven't won the game since 2001 was the last time that they won, which I believe was Paul Johnson's first year at Navy. Navy has since won the game pretty handily most years, save 2001 or save 2011, 2012, and a surprisingly close game last year. It has allowed Navy to open up a 10-game lead in the overall series. I just unfortunately don't think Army has much of a shot. This is the best Navy team that we've seen in a long time. And I think they just come out and dominate from the first whistle. And, it's just another tough end to a tough year for Jeff Munkin and Army.
Nigel, do you have anything else to say about it, really? You're muted.
I mean, I completely agree with Andrew. I didn't know the streak, how long the streak was exactly, but this is literally tied to the installation of an offense that has just been working hand-in-hand with Army's resurgence the past couple of years, so... I agree with Andrew completely, unfortunately, and it's going to be how much does Navy win by, more so if they win. That's the question today.
Yeah. I mean, I like to cheer for Navy. I like to cheer for Army just because I feel bad that they get beat so handily, it seems like, every year. That said, as a caster, I can't pick against Navy in this book. I think we're all pretty much on the same boat. That said, I will turn it over to Nigel's question. Andrew, what do you think the win margin is for Navy?
Do we have a spread on the game yet?
21.5.
They cover.
Okay. Nigel.
Wow. That's more than three touchdowns.
I don't see Army scoring a single touchdown. If maybe one out of a fluke, not more than one. So
like that's what they put the half a point in for. They're like more than three whole touchdowns. Mm. You don't think like Navy like takes it easy on them a little bit?
No chance. Not in this game.
No, it's such like one of those intense. It is in itself the greatest rivalry game because it's bragging rights, right?
Yeah, I mean it's America's game. You know, it's.
I understand. Yeah, I think they cover. I do. I agree.
Okay, I'll go the other way. I'll say Navy wins by 17 points.
Okay.
Because I respect Army to at least try and their best to put up a fight. It'll be bad. But it won't be more than three touchdowns bad. All right. With that said, we're going to wrap up our cast for the week. Thanks again to our listeners for joining us and listening in every week. And Nigel, Andrew, thank you again for being with us. By the way, we clearly don't have a bias in the Army-Navy game. Thank you again, as always, for listening. And if you have any questions or comments, please shoot us an email at toemeatleather@gmail.com. Again, that is toemeatleather@gmail.com. Have a good rest of your week. Good night.